Oh, they did a little wagon wheel at College Game Day. That was a big thing on not only on the TV show, but also on Twitter or X. When Darius Rucker went to, where the hell is South Carolina?
Spartanburg?
No, it's not Spartanburg. It's, I forgot what town, and it's right on the tip of my tongue. And
Poughkeepsie?
I can't think of, no, stop. Poughkeepsie. Poughkeepsie is in New York.
I know, I just like saying Poughkeepsie.
I mean, Columbia, South Carolina. I just thought about it. I knew I had it. He was there, and they did,
That's awesome.
They did a little wagon wheel. Do you know wagon wheel or no?
No, I don't.
Do you know Darius Rucker?
No.
Okay. Anyway, so moving on. Listen, we had to cut Paulie off at the bottom of the hour. Paulie was upset that we were being critical of Terry McLaurin.
I didn't expect that from Paulie.
Here's the one thing that I will say. There is no denying that Terry has been affected by some questionable offensive coordinating and some poor quarterback play. There is no denying. However, what I can say is this. There is nobody in the NFL. There's nobody in the NFL that studies the game that thinks Terry McLaurin is in the same stratosphere, the same level of a Justin Jefferson.
Mike Evans.
Of a Mike Evans, of a...
We used to have that argument, remember? Evans used to get compared
to
Terry.
Yes, and Mike Evans has been ranked behind Terry McLaurin, and it's not even close to being fair.
Yeah, he's way... In his quarterback situation over his career,
right,
exactly. Patrick and Jameis,
and he's got probably the best quarterback he's played with, so part and parcel, that is part of it. But here's my thing. Terry McLaurin had his best year statistically from a touchdown perspective, 7, in his rookie year when he played with Case Keenum, Colt McCoy, and the late Dwayne Haskins, right? He had 7. Over the last 4 years, and now 4 years plus, Terry McLaurin has averaged 4.5 touchdowns per year. He's had 2 years with 4 and 2 years with 5. Again, a average of 4.5 touchdowns per year. And you say, well, what do you expect? Garrett Wilson only had 3 last year playing with a bunch of jabronis, right? And you're right. Zach Wilson is really, really, really bad. He is really, really, really bad. I don't know if anybody, as bad as the quarterback play around here has been, has approached the Zach Wilson in New York level, but that's neither here nor there. So what I would say is clearly Terry McLaurin has been affected by that. But I think people get punch drunk because Terry's such a good guy, because Terry's such a good leader, because he's such a nice guy, because he's made some big plays, because he's been the one thing that you can lean on during some desperate and dark times for this football team again. But I think people make the mistake of thinking that he is a top 5 or a top 10 receiver, and it's not even fair to Terry. Like, Paulie's screaming about fair market value. Fine. That it is what it is. Nobody was screaming about what they paid him. He did get fair market value. The bottom line is Terry is not in that category, and he shouldn't be looked upon as in that category. He should be looked upon, quite honestly, as a 1A or a number 2, period. That's it. He's not a true number 1.
We keep talking about bad quarterback situations. Last year, Amari Cooper, would you say his quarterback situation was worse than
Terry's? Yeah, last year was dreadful.
The last 2 years for the Browns.
I think it's better this year with Gardner Minshew, but still.
No, Amari Cooper.
Oh, Amari Cooper. I'm sorry, yes. I was thinking about Devontae Adams. Sorry.
The last 2 years, it has been god-awful for him in Cleveland because of who he's had.
Yeah. He had 5 starting quarterbacks last year.
Yeah, turned that into 1,300 yards and 5 touchdowns. 18 yards per reception.
Now, the touchdowns, again, still a little bit low, but
nine
you mentioned
before,
1,300
though.
Yards.
But
absolutely.
9 the year before.
Absolutely.
With half a year of Deshaun. That's a
really good one. I mean, and again, I was thinking about Devontae Adams, who obviously, since he
and
went.
Fans here would argue that Amari Cooper's not better than him.
I mean, listen, I've been hard on Amari Cooper. I remember having some discussions with some NFL personnel people, and I was like, man, he drops too many passes.
He dropped a big one on Sunday.
Yeah, I know, and that's been a bugaboo for him. But Amari Cooper has been productive. Terry McLaurin, again, I remind everybody, he was a third-round pick, middle of the third round. In 2019, he was not supposed to be anything more than a middling, at best, wide receiver. That was the book on him from multiple people. Now, only one crazy-ass SOB kept saying, you know what? I really like what Terry can do as a receiver. I think Terry and all those spread sets of Ohio State, I think he can be a I like, you know, bubble screens and quick stuff. And what I think Terry's a better receiver than the book on him. You know who that crazy-ass son of a bitch was? Me.
Who was it?
Okay. So, but you know, you want to know not where that came from. That didn't come from anybody. That came from my own evaluation. You know who also felt the same? Kyle Smith and Jay Gruden. Okay?
Yeah.
So I'm here to say that those guys properly graded Terry McLaurin. They took him in the third round. He was beyond widely thought of, as the best special teams player in the draft. And a receiver maybe down the line, somebody who might develop into something. He was not thought of as a 1 or 1A. And I think we're putting too much pressure on Terry. I really do. I think a better quarterback, better offensive coordinator can absolutely improve it. But I think, like, there was one throw the other day, mid to late third quarter, roughly. I put it down on my notes. It was on the drive where Cornelius Lucas and Sam Cosmi, by the way, Sam Cosmi will join us at about 3:15 tomorrow, so stay tuned for that. Cosmi and Lucas both had false starts, but Terry McLaurin on a second and... You know what? I screwed up. I think it was on a different drive. It was second and 12, and Jaden Daniels had just had a scramble, and Jaden on second and 12 threw like a deep over route behind the linebackers, in front of the corner, in front of the safety, along the sideline, and Terry caught it and went out of bounds and totally fine. Got 12 yards on the play. It was initially ruled as 13, but they marked it 12. To me, I thought that was one of Jaden Daniels' best throws of the game.
The toe tap.
It was confident. It was ripped. It was good ball location. Terry made the catch. Terry was obviously running a route. Again, I think you would call it a deep over. Maybe I'm wrong in the terminology, whatever. It was everything you want to see. It was everything about how they should use Terry McLaurin more. You shouldn't just use Terry McLaurin as a screen or a quick game option. You shouldn't just use Terry McLaurin as a deep ball option. Terry McLaurin can run the route tree.
Right.
So to me, what I look most forward to this Monday and maybe next Sunday in Arizona, Linnell, is seeing Terry evolve more in this offense, lining him up on the left, lining him up on the right, which clearly there was an emphasis to line him up more on the right, lining him up in the slot, which there has been somewhat of an emphasis for him to do, lining him up in motion. Use Terry not as a number one war daddy. Use Terry as a movable chess piece that can shake some things up and give different looks.
Especially when you're talking about running him on these deep over routes and getting linebackers to sink. It'll help your underneath
stuff. You remember
stuff.
That throw that I'm talking
it's
about,
the toe,
right?
It's the toe tap one, right?
Yeah.
It was a really good catch.
Yeah, but it was, I mean, it was a good throw. It was a good route. It was a good everything.
But I agree, like, that's another way that you can use him, and I think he ran that from the right slot, correct?
Yes, so I believe so, yes.
That's the type of
It was
impact.
Definitely from the right. I don't remember if it was the right outside of the right slot, but I think
you're it was
right.
The right slot.
And it was definitely,
route.
Again, you know, like that.
And the benefit of that, not to get nerdy, you can draw linebackers back. You can a safety may suck up on it, and then you get something over the top. So, like, there's benefit to moving him around. Mm-hmm. We're not just saying move him around for crap's sake. I haven't looked into the numbers, Chris. I was relying on you for that. the motion numbers with Terry and the entire receiving
corps. Okay.
Because I think that's something else that could help them from a separation standpoint. But I also want to say this. I don't know. I think the rumors of Washington's receivers not getting separation are a little bit exaggerated.
Well, so you're asking for motion. I don't have that just yet, but I'll get it for you in a sec. I know this. He lined up three more times in the slot on Sunday, 9 versus 6 in Tampa.
Week. Meaning this continued evolution of the offense, I would assume, too.
I still didn't see just a lot of natural motion out of Terry. Here's what I saw out of this offense. As a whole, I saw a ton of jet action and a ton of motion A ton might be strong.
It was more.
A lot more motion and a lot more creative by design motion this week than week one. And to me, I took that as
that.
A, Cliff Kingsbury realized he's got to do something to shake guys free. And B, it also tells me, you know who, what it also should tell me and tell you? The young quarterback can call it and let it operate and execute.
Well, they almost had a fumble, though, with
Zacchaeus. Listen, I know they had false starts, and I know they all that. Some of that is on different aspects.
Yes.
I'm talking about purely motion
being
and
able to line
movement,
up and,
pre-snap design, creativity. I thought Cliff Kingsbury was great the other day.
Just dialed it up the first 2 weeks. I thought he was really good against Tampa as well. I thought he didn't stick with the run long enough. But another reason why I think we may have seen it more this week is who New York has on the edge with Burns and Thibodeau. It's one way to slow up your edge rushers and stop them from, you know, chasing down plays from the backside. You got to stay home because it may be coming back towards you with end-around stuff. Mm-hmm. That's what the jet sweep series opens up.
Yes.
I just think, one, we got to see more of it. I think we will see more of it as the offense continues to evolve. But, like, when we do talk about receiver, they all could be better. Like, that's the best thing I could say about the receivers is they all could be better, but it's also on Jayden Daniels because he's the one getting them the football, and that's the other thing that I struggle with. I don't even want to say I struggle with. It's just a product of him growing as a quarterback. His vision's going to get better. Like 4 weeks from now, I don't expect him. I can't even say that because every quarterback misses wide open stuff, even the best quarterbacks. But like, I expect it to happen at a less frequent rate as time moves on and he gets more comfortable within the offense. And Terry's been open on plays; he hasn't hit him. If he hits him against Tampa on that deep ball to open up the second half,
it's a completely different narrative.
On him is completely different. That's why talking two games in is interesting, but it's what we've got to work with right now. I'm more worried about with Terry the ancillary stuff about playing the position.
Yeah, see, I would rather him be better in what I'm paying him to be and what I need him to be.
But if you're not going to be better in that, then I need you to pick up your game in the other places, too.
And that's fine, because you can absolutely help out the cause.
You got to earn targets.
You can absolutely help out the cause. Now, just kind of expanding the argument, I can't find the motion stats. Seth Walder of ESPN does not have it up, at least that I've seen for this week. I saw it last week. Commanders were, I think, fourth lowest in the NFL in week one, which, again, does make some sense against a very heavy blitzing, very aggressive, savvy veteran defensive mind like Todd Bowles, so on and so forth. That being said, I think against Shane Bowen and the Giants, even though they had that really good defense, I think you could just see it with your eyes. They used so much more motion, so much more. And I saw Terry a couple of times running jet motion. And what people, if you don't understand the term jet motion, which I think most people do, is basically it's, you know, if you're lined up on the right side pre-snap, you're going to run basically not just kind of drifting in motion. You're going to run basically a straight line, and you're going to run generally behind the offensive line and in front of the quarterback, and either you could get a handoff, you could get a fake handoff, you could determine coverage, you could get the defense looking one way because they're like, wait a second, is he leaking out the back door? What you could do all sorts of different things off of the jet motion, what I call eye candy. And I know there's other forms of eye candy, but the bottom line is just to the naked eye or just to the trained eye, you could see they did a lot more of it against the Giants. I'll try and find you the exact numbers as I can, but here's the bottom line. I need him to be better in the areas that you need him to be, no doubt. But I need him to be better overall in the areas that are most important to this offense. Three-layer throws, again, the kind of route, the kind of catch, the kind of everything on that second and 13 play that we were referring to that led to, it was actually marked initially a 13-yard gain. It was a 12-yard gain, so then they faced third and one. And you know what happened on that third and one? That was the play that Brian Robinson busted out for 40 when he hit the wall and he bounced off the left side and he squirted out and he ran all the way down the field and what have you. So, again, what I need Terry to do, I don't need Terry to do as much blocking as maybe you do. That's a preference thing. What I need Terry to do is, again, have multiple layers to the offense. And here's the other thing. The one thing that I think we can say about Terry, and maybe this is fair, maybe this isn't, I don't know. He seems to separate. He seems to struggle against press jam coverage.
Well, right? That's why he's got the contested catch rate that he does. It's really high. It's one of the highest in the NFL since he's entered in 2019. I believe he's second in contested catches since he's out of the league. I think that is partially because of the lack of separation that he's created.
Well, yeah, yes, I think that is a part of it. The other part of it, quite honestly, could be bad design.
Bad design,
or
bad
it could
balls,
be bad quarterback
whatever,
play.
But.
You know, throws are late, what have you. Here's what we're trying to get at. This is not a beat up Terry. This
no,
is a
it's not at all.
How do we get more out of Terry? How do we make Terry better? And the obvious answer is, you know what? Jaden being more comfortable, Jaden being better, Jaden being more confident, like we saw in the second half. Like Jaden on Sunday, I thought missed a lot of stuff in the first half.
He did.
This is the stuff that quite honestly, Matt Miller is not paying attention to. He's just looking at a box score and saying, oh, Jaden Daniels was 10 of 10 in the first, you know, to start thinking, oh, wow, Jaden Daniels was great. No, Jaden Daniels was really good in the second half. Jaden Daniels was not really good in the first half. But as you saw that game develop, and a bunch of people asked me on Twitter last night if it was after the shot to the ribs. And maybe it was. Maybe he was more cognizant. He still missed some stuff. He still scrambled. He still ran after the shot to the ribs. But he did less of it. And I think what they did, Linnell, was they took advantage, quite honestly, of a secondary that has one really good established player in Deontay Banks.
Yeah.
And they were able to hold up a little bit better in pass protection. Jaden was a little bit more comfortable, and he let it rip. Against Cincinnati, it might be different. Against Lou Anarumo, it might be different. Lou Anarumo is not a blitz, 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 blitz guy, but he will blitz the bleep out of you when he wants. And I, by the way, again, like, you should expect Jaden to struggle in this game, not Jaden to dominate in this game. Maybe you can hope for Jaden to play well or reasonably well. I'm telling you, this is a desperate, wounded team. And Trey Hendrickson, you want to talk about pass rush win rates? Trey Hendrickson is a maniac.
There's a stat okay? that I think you
and
sent
me. And that's going to alter everything.
There's a stat that I think that I either I sent it to you or you sent it to me about his numbers against rookie left tackles over the last couple of years, and maybe I didn't send it to you. I sent it to myself. It is unbelievable.
I saw it.
And our guy, Brandon Coleman.
You did send it to me.
Brandon Coleman has struggled over
Brandon Coleman has struggled.
He struggled last week in particular.
As was expected.
Because he's going up against two premier edge rushers. Yeah. So that is going to be a crucial matchup for this
week. Yeah, but Cornelius
as well.
Lucas played more at left tackle
and gave
last
up
week.
Less.
Right.
Gave up
so
less
I think
pressure,
Cornelius so. Lucas is going to play, is going to start
on
Monday night and play more, unless Cornelius Lucas starts getting beaten like a drum, which is possible. I mean, the point being is the pass protection issues that they might be facing again on Monday night could affect how you use and how you deploy Terry.
For sure.
Right? And that leads us into a bigger conversation or a bigger part of the conversation is, if not Terry, then, okay, there's Noah Brown. And there's Luke McCaffrey, who was open a couple of times, and maybe Jaden didn't see him. And De'Ami Brown started off a couple of like quick hits and got involved, unlike in week one. But then I thought could have done a better job of helping his quarterback out, running along the back line of the end zone. Okay, fine. You learn from that. That's a mistake, probably by both, but that's a mistake. So to me, as I sit here and wonder at 3:21 on a Wednesday afternoon when the team still has 4 days to prepare, I sit here and I go, well, wait a second. This is going to be a really tough test going against Hendrickson and maybe even KJ Henry. And, you know, they've got some injuries on their defensive line. And this isn't, I don't think, a great Cincinnati defense. But if they can find a way, never mind to get Terry on track on all three levels. If they can find a way to just distribute the ball a little bit better, Ertz, Noah Brown, De'Ami Brown and McCaffrey, that is going to remove some pressure from Terry, and it's going to remove some eyes and some shade from Terry, which is theoretically should make Terry better. Should it not?
It should. I think what you said is the bigger picture. It's on Jaden. As Jaden matures as a passer, I think opportunities for Terry will be there more often. I think the ball will find its way to him more often. I think it has a lot to do with Jaden as well. Not Cliff.
I agree, but Cliff, I mean, we say Cliff doesn't have any part of it, but
it's
I don't know if that's
no
fair.
Part of it. It's just You guys just want him to sit there and throw quick screens right. all day. Like, that's not right. the best way to
or
use
you
Terry.
Or you just want to use Terry as a deep ball threat.
Yeah, that's not the best way to use him.
They can dial. They dialed it up in Tampa, right? The exactly. first one was not as deep as the second one, the one early in the second half. Yes. Jaden just missed that. Terry was wide open.
And on the first one that he had, I believe, it just was an uncatchable football. Like,
absolutely correct. Here's what I want to see on Monday night. First, second series. Come out.
Two tight ends, and a Terry single receiver, and take a shot. Give him a one-on-one shot.
I was going to say, run a deep post or a deep crosser or something. Or just a deep nine route, but I'll just deep post me. You know they don't have Jesse Bates anymore.
Yeah.
You know, try and get behind the defense. We know Terry's got the speed and the ability to separate. Take a deep shot, and that theoretically should loosen up some stuff underneath, right? I mean, it should. So I hope they can get this passing game on track. It got better in the second half. There is no doubt about that. I mean, some really big boy throws from Jaden Daniels. Back-to-back throws to Zach Ertz in the middle of the third quarter. The one to Terry. Obviously, the one to Noah Brown on the final drive. I love that Cliff stayed aggressive. We've talked about a lot of this stuff. When you go back and you slow it down and you watch this stuff over and over and over again, you can see Jaden grow and develop just in that game. So now, hopefully, they take another step.
And it will continue to happen. I think that's why you should be optimistic about the offense is they're on an upward trajectory there. They moved the ball well against Tampa. They moved it even better against New York. So they could come out and I wouldn't be stunned if they beat Cincinnati.
All right, we'll try and get a couple of your calls in before cleanup on aisle three and Dumb Dumb of the Day. All to come on the Team 980. Stay with us. I mean, there's no chance if he doesn't know Wagon Wheel that he's going to know this one. Hootie and the Blowfish? No? No idea.
I can give a hoot. Oh, I do know this song.
I mean, you're not too far off.
I know the
song.
This is movies.
Darius Rucker was the lead singer of Hootie and the Blowfish. One of the most popular.
I don't know them by artist name. They're not that important to me.
Of this century. I mean,
Chris, get over yourself.
Just what kind of music do you? I mean, do you listen to that guy that just got popped for all those federal sex crimes? What's his name? Puff Daddy? Puff Diddy?
No, I don't listen to Puff Daddy.
Oh, okay. I mean, I didn't know what kind of music you listen to. So,
do I listen to the guy?
I mean,
the passwords you just found was the passwords you just used was found in the data breach as I signed into.
How about we not announce that on the radio that we're basically conspiring to help you out? How about we not do that?
Well,
you know, just something.
This is amazing, though, these stats. I'm just now getting a look at it.
Oh,
good, great.
Amazing.
I'm going to be horny all night with these things.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my goodness. Let's get to Sean in Connecticut. Speaking of
trying to leave early so I can go look at the stats?
Hello, Sean. How are you, pal?
Sean, you would never believe what I have in front of my eyes.
What is that?
Every advanced analytic. You aren't going to be able to tell me anything after I get a night with this. Oof.
All right. Well, I tend to. I know this, and this sounds. It may sound weird for me to say it out loud, and it may sound weird for myself, but I tend to agree with you, Linnell. So maybe that was directed at Chris. But I just wanted to come on. I haven't called in this week yet, so I have a couple of thoughts on the game. I had a great time. I will say I was watching the highlights, though, and the camera work on the long catch to Noah Brown after the two-minute warning was horrible. They completely, missed a play. And so that was a little surprising.
Wait, they missed the beginning of that play, you mean?
Well, at least what I watched the highlights online, at least the camera angle I saw it from, was the one where they showed the play – but Jaden threw a rope, and they were super late. So, they showed him throw it, and then by the time they moved the camera to show where Noah Brown was, he had already been,
Because they were coming out of a two-minute warning. I don't remember. I mean, I remember watching it live. Yeah. I remember watching it on replay, but I didn't notice what you noticed, but maybe I just missed it. I don't know.
Yes, I mean it's not that big of a deal. Just a little annoying, and it also felt like the refs didn't. I don't know if you had a better. It just felt like we couldn't understand what anything the ref was saying the entire game, especially in the beginning when they said that Dable, I guess, threw the challenge flag for the Zach Ertz catch.
I think there was some audio issues. We were having some problems in the press box with that as well. So I think there was some issues with that.
So it was just a little weird. But one play that stuck out to me, I was just looking it up. It was a throw to Zach Ertz. It was 11 minutes left in the third quarter, and it was 3rd and 8, and it kind of Jaden rolled out to his right and hit Zach Ertz for 20 yards in the fourth down.
That was one of the two plays that I was just mentioning, because then he went back-to-back with the shoulder shrug on the first down play right after that.
Yeah, and I that play was great for me, but if I did see it correctly, and I don't have access to the film like you guys do, so I could be wrong, but it did seem like he missed. It did look like Diami Brown was like 20 yards down the field, like wide open. Mm-hmm. And I may have missed the safety, but I'm pretty sure he was wide open. And I don't hate the play, because obviously it's still a great play. But I just think that kind of is a good like synopsis of where Jaden's at right now, where he's good, he's making good throws, but tiny little things could be a little bit better. But I'm also going to be patient and give him time. Because I'll just say this, if you were to show me his stats and then show me the film and the highlights from these two games before the season started and said this is going to be his first two games, I'm taking it. I'm very happy with it. And I think that it's his growth and his ability to get better very quickly is already on display. And it just feels so good to have a player who is already, I think, a cornerstone and will hopefully grow into a cornerstone and a foundational piece of this franchise that works his butt off. It just seems like time and time again, we give big contracts and we invest in these players who don't really seem to really have that like fire and desire to really work hard and win. And maybe that has something to do with the past management ownership situation. So I'm not blaming the players entirely, but it's just extremely refreshing. And I'm super excited. I will say, Linnell, this time I do disagree with you. I would be stunned if they beat the Bengals. I know the Bengals are struggling, but we have by far the worst defense in the league, in my opinion. And maybe not by far. The Panthers are pretty horrible. But I just think our defense cannot be trusted against anything. I think that's something we're overlooking, is that the Giants probably win that game if they have a kicker.
Oh, they no doubt so, about it. Yeah, no doubt. We got to run, Sean. We're way late. Appreciate the phone call. Sorry to cut people off, but I just got to
another wide receiver number that just jumped out at me via the Next Gen stats.
Wow. What is that?
Jaden Daniels, is second in the NFL.
Am I ever going to be able to get you back?
Never
again.
Never, because okay. This has my attention.
Am I going to need like a fishing rod?
You are, because I'm surfing the web. Jaden Daniels, second in the NFL in terms of average target separation, meaning his targets when he's throwing the football have the second most separation in the NFL. Meaning, there's a bunch of different ways you can interpret that.
Well, yeah,
Getting separation. Two, that stat doesn't necessarily mean they're always getting separation, because look at how he's not throwing the ball that much. So I also look at it and I say, well, he's got to be more comfortable making tight window throws.
That's where the target separation has shown up.
Yeah,
just to the eye. The tight window throws, that's what I worry about.
Yeah. Terry dropped one earlier.
Getting sacked or he's running for his life. Tight window throws in a lot of cases.
His tight window throw percentage is 26th in the NFL.
It's not good. Not good. But somewhat expected.
Pat Mahomes is 30th.
Two games. All right, let's do this. Final trending alert. Then we will come back, try and squeeze in a call or two before the cleanup on aisle 3 portion of our radio program. Let's hit it up right here, right now. All right, class of 2025 nominees for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Class of 2025 announced earlier today. Two-time Super Bowl champ, former Giant Eli Manning, Luke Kuechly, Terrell Suggs, Adam Vinatieri, all among the first-time nominees. The Hall announcing 167 modern-era candidates for the class of 2025, also including Baltimore's Marshall Yanda. The process will get whittled down, and of course we'll find out right around the Super Bowl who will comprise, again, the class of 2025. Commanders, with mostly a day off today, they'll return to the practice field at about 1 o'clock tomorrow afternoon. Sam Cosmi will join us right after practice, right around 3:15 or so tomorrow on the Team 980. And from the NBA world, shocking news, Adrian Wojnarowski retiring from ESPN, and he's agreed to become the general manager at his alma mater in College Hoops, St. Bonaventure University. Nats trying to avoid the sweep in New York at Citi Field tonight, 7:10, the first pitch, 106.7 The Fan. And that's what's trending. Is that true? Have you unburied your nose from the Next Gen Stats?
No, I haven't. Now I'm an NFL pro. Oh, getting God. All 22.
We're all in trouble, man. We're all in trouble.
This is something. Really,
he's going to make more T-shirts and slogans.
This is how you make the average fan smarter.
All of Linnell's deep dive into NFL Pro Advanced Statistics is presented by our friends at T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Let's get to Stevie Ray in Baltimore, who's been off and on hold and bad phones and whatever.
Stevie Ray,
you holding up there? What's going on?
I pray you can hear me.
Yes.
Oh my God, you sound like a totally
so much
different
better.
Caller.
See, I knew if I just left you on hold for a while that you would be much clearer.
Well, you were right. Once in your lifetime, you are right about that.
I think I'm right a little bit more than that.
Once.
But anyway,
that was one. Yeah. Okay. Whatever. Let's see. First, talk about Hootie the Blowfish. I was a ranger at Hobbit's Glen. He used to come up there and play every time. Every time they would play at Merriweather, he would come over and play golf at Hobbit's. Guy's a pretty damn good golfer, along with Alice Cooper and Kenny G used to come over there and play. So,
I know Kenny G.
I got to see some pretty good golfers, yeah. They were Callaway representatives, Alice Cooper and Kenny G.
I care more about them as singers than golfers, but hey, you know, if they can golf, that's great.
Yeah. Just let you know,
yeah.
Hey, it's six degrees of separation.
I hear you.
Before you were talking about Alice in Chains. Did you see the lead singer from Alice in Chains pop his lead guitarist on stage?
No, that was Jane's Addiction. That was Jane's Addiction.
Was that Jane's Addiction? Yeah. Okay. Hey, I'm old. I get all that stuff mixed.
Oh, don't worry, he's old too.
Stevie Ray, how old are you?
I am 66.
Okay. Well, you're
Stevie
old.
Ray.
That's right.
Yeah, you are old.
So,
yeah, even Jaden Daniels.
Go quick. Thanks a lot. Yeah. I'm old, but I'm surprised. Last thing, I just want to talk real quick about something positive. I was looking at the stats, and we were seeing how many field goals we had last week. And we had 7, obviously. But how many were inside of the 30? And I counted 5 of them. And out of those 5, I think all 5 – had penalties, pre-snap penalties on them.
Mm-hmm.
I could be wrong about that. What I'm saying is that, you know, I believe that if you get rid of these penalties that they were getting inside of the 20, I think we scored at least 3 or 4 touchdowns on those.
Yes.
These pre-snap penalties are drive killers.
Yes.
When it comes down to it, you take those penalties away and we blew the Giants out.
Well,
okay,
here's the thing. They were sacked on 5 out of the 7 field goal drives. Yes, you're right. Penalties were a problem. We've all discussed that. But that's not all on the offensive line.
I'm going to tell you what. I'm going to tell you the exact opposite. The sacks, all 4 of them he took in the first half were on him.
On Jaden.
I would say so, yes.
The sacks.
Yes.
But the false starts are being
– These are – These are things that he has got. You say it. I've heard you say it 10 times today. It's only the second game.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's go. We've got things. Exactly. We got to keep moving along. And all of this doom and gloom, I want to just say only the second game. Let's see what we do at Cincinnati. Their offense isn't clicking on all cylinders either. So maybe we got a chance of, I'm not saying to win, but at least go into Cincinnati and come out with our heads held high. That's what I want
I would
to
agree.
See on
Thank
Monday
you.
Night.
Thank you, Steve. Appreciate it. I got to let you run. Let's squeeze in one last one here. Dr. Sabah is with us. I know, Doc. I know. When Taylor Heinicke was the quarterback, Terry McLaurin was great, wasn't he?
Well, according to everybody, I mean, what's up with the Terry bash? I agree with Paul on this one. What in the world? This guy.
So we're not allowed to wonder what's going on with Terry McLaurin?
You never wondered before. You can't wonder what's going on with the quarterback when you don't like him. And now, all of a sudden, you like the quarterback. You're going to wonder what's going on with Terry.
No.
Nothing's going on with Terry.
You listen to the show all the time, and you know I love you. Yeah. I've always said Terry doesn't score enough touchdowns. Terry doesn't separate from man press coverage. I mean, I've always said this. I don't understand.
But you know what the narrative is, particularly in your compadre that goes before you. The narrative has always been we haven't had a quarterback.
Oh, Coach.
Now that he loves the quarterback, Terry's trash.
Well,
come on, guys.
I can't control what Coach Sheehan does.
That's an astute observation.
I can't control what Coach Sheehan does.
Thank you, Linnell.
I think the expectations for Terry are too high. And that's what I've kind of said.
I can agree with that as
well. I think he's a 1A, not a 1. Yeah, yes, they were. I mean, he was the best out of a bad bunch. That's the problem.
Not when he had 7 100-yard games with a guy that no one liked at quarterback. Okay. It was imagine what could happen to Terry if he had an actual quarterback. I listen to it all. Mm-hmm. Listen, guys, here's the bottom line. You got to give this quarterback a chance to grow and to see if he's something. But what I don't want is for everybody to assume he's the answer and now Terry isn't. And everybody else is trash around him.
Now our defensive tackles
can't play. And now our tight end's not good enough. And now, come on, listen. Let the rookie prove himself first, okay? Instead of the dinking and the dunking and putting his head down and running. Let's see what he can do when it matters most, when he's in the pocket and has to throw the ball. Because Hurts can't do that, and neither can Lamar. Patrick Mahomes can, okay? Josh Allen can. Kirk Cousins can, okay? These guys that run around so far, I haven't seen one besides Pat Mahomes, because he's a pass-first guy. They can actually and CJ, I'm impressed with the CJ, the guy out of Texas.
Stroud.
I like him a lot. He's a guy, I think, if I get his name wrong, sorry. I like him because he throws from the pocket.
Doc, I'm gonna give you something that's gonna get you all fired up, right? First game in 2021, Thursday Night Football against the Giants that Tyler Heinicke started. Terry had 14 targets, 11 catches, 107 yards, and a touchdown. The next week was way lower than that, but the next 2 weeks after that, 13 targets, 6 catches, 11 targets, 4
there
catches. You notice a little trend here, though? A lot of targets, and about 50% of them were catches, which kind of tells
me
that.
And so we won those games. We beat Green Bay, if I'm not mistaken. I think we lost to Buffalo.
Yeah,
okay,
I mean,
but
lost
we beat
to Buffalo,
Giants.
Right.
The last quarterback to beat the Giants before this past Sunday.
They lost to Green Bay.
Who was it?
Yeah, we lost to Green Bay.
Oh, was that the Green Bay loss where he thought he had a touchdown and did the leap, and he ended up fumbling right before going in? It was the next year we beat Green Bay.
Okay, all
I know is let's wait till this guy beats Tom Brady, which can't happen because Tom Brady's retired. Beats Wilson, he can beat Wilson. Yeah, beats Cam Newton, but Cam Newton's gone. Beat Aaron Rodgers, he can still beat Aaron Rodgers. Beats Derek Carr, he can still beat Derek Carr.
Gotcha.
And then let's anoint him. That's all I'm saying.
All right. You don't like Jaden Daniels? We got it. I appreciate you. I got to let you run because Matt's getting mad at me.
Does that mean she doesn't like Jaden Daniels?
She doesn't like Jaden Daniels.
I don't think that's what I didn't
I think
that
she
away.
Thinks Jaden Daniels is run first quarterback and that's it.
So you know? Far, yes.
I mean, and he's a run-heavy quarterback. That's for damn sure. Clean up on aisle 3 right here, right now. We'll do an abridged version. I hope Matt's okay with it. Because I didn't really ask. What we may have missed. What we forgot. What we need to touch on. What we promoted that we didn't get to. And even if it's just a minute or two, a mention.
Clean up in aisle three.
Clean up on aisle three. All right, here you go. We'll wrap it up this way. Last night, Citi Field in New York, after a disappointing, kind of heartbreaking series opening loss, the Nationals had nothing in the tank last night. 10-1, they lost. The Mets are playing for something, obviously. Their 83rd win of the year. They're in the National League wild card, position right now. The Nationals are playing out the string, trying to get let's call it 75 wins. Last night, Mitchell Parker stunk. 3 2/3, 7 hits, 5 earned runs. The bullpen wasn't much better. The offense stunk. Dylan Cruz did have 3 hits on the night. C.J. Abrams did return to the lineup, so that's good. But Dylan Cruz had 3 hits. The Nationals as a team had 4. Tonight, they try and avoid the sweep before heading off to Wrigley Field in Chicago for a Thursday nighter in a 4-game weekend series. And tonight at Citi Field in New York, while the Nationals try and avoid the sweep with a 7-10 first pitch, highs figure to be in the low 70s and a chance of rain throughout the game, but it's a very low chance until about the 10 o'clock hour, which the game should be over by then. It's about a 15% chance of rain with winds right around 9 to 10 miles per hour. Today's game day weather is presented by Pepco. Storm season is here, and we know a little prep makes a big difference. Get storm informed at Pepco.com/stormprep. And that does it for cleanup on aisle three. How about that?
Cleanup in aisle three.
Told you, Matt, I'm a professional. I'm not a good professional, but I'm a professional. 350 on the Team 980, dum dum of the day. And we'll figure it out when we come back on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
I don't know what that was. All right, 3:54. Craig Hoffman coming up next. He'll take you home on a Wednesday afternoon. Be safe out there with all the rain. All of you guys drive like maniacs anyway, so I will just do the usual don't drive like a dumb maniac and make it even worse. All right, it is time. It is time to wrap up the show.
It's time for Dumb Dumb of the Day.
So Anthony Haney walked into the studio. The esteemed producer and sidekick for Craig Hoffman coming up.
Sidekick? Don't play with my brother like that. He's Shorty more than a sidekick. Don't call him no sidekick.
Well, what am I supposed to call him?
I got you, Slim, because that's my man.
Am I supposed to call him what? Co-host?
Yeah.
I said esteemed producer and sidekick. What's
esteemed
wrong with
producer, co-host.
All right, whatever. I mean, sorry. And he said, you know, he goes, you're the dum-dum of the day. And I said, maybe I am. And I said, why? And he goes, well, because you're the idiot that took Dr. Sabah 3:48 when you still had 2 things to do, and you know she just talks and talks and talks and talks. And I was like, you know, that's not a bad point, because I had to cut her off. So you're right. I mean, from a radio
you
technical
had to cut her off, but you did it because you're
Matt
scared of
was
her.
Pissed off. Matt was like, you got to let her go. You got to let her go.
You still didn't let her go.
And I still didn't let her go because I don't like cutting off people. I don't like talking over people.
We did talk before we came back from break, and what was the thing that I mentioned to you?
You said take Stevie Ray.
You said don't, and he specifically said don't take Sabah.
We don't have enough time.
I was trying to be nice.
I get that.
I was trying to get as much.
Nice guys finish last and end their shows.
Anthony's point was I still had clean up on aisle three, and I still had dumb dumb of the day. So here I am doing the right and appropriate thing. I am anointing myself with Anthony's suggestion, and as well Paulie's suggestion, who says you and I are the co-dumb-dumbs of the day.
I haven't said anything
stupid
all day.
The Lloyd and Harrys of the Team 980. I, all of us on this show, dum-dums
not of Matt, and not me, it's you. You chose to take the loudmouth Jaden Daniels hater. And now we're cutting into the Hoffman show.
We're not cutting into anything. You know what we cut into?
You don't have anything good to say after that. So your pregnant pause that you took, I mean, completely unnecessary, wasting more time.
All right, why don't you take all your leftovers, all the food that you went and heisted from Brian Mitchell without Brian Mitchell knowing about it.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, we're a mess over here.
And
wish your coworker take your food.
At least you don't have to cook dinner. See you tomorrow afternoon at 1 o'clock for a Throwdown Thursday. Sam Cosmi,
Dum Dum of the Day.
That's for you.
I just added to that because I just completely butchered that because Linnell wouldn't shut up. Sam Cosmi at 3:15, right around tomorrow afternoon. Throwdown Thursday at 1. Craig Hoffman next. See ya.
Kevin, we're on tomorrow too.